right, good evening, everybody. Good evening, and welcome to Southeast Baptist Tabernacle. It's good to see everybody out tonight. Looking forward to a good service, to hear from Brother Chase Williams, who's going to do some illusions or magic. And, you know, I hear that he might be doing a trick to get pastor's hair to grow back. And so, but then I'll be a real believer. love you, Pastor. Anyways, so if you're visiting with us, we're glad you're here. Welcome. Thanks for joining us. You can scan the QR code. We'd love to just get to know you all better, or stop by the Welcome Center on your way out. We can connect with you there. A few announcements this evening. This Saturday is the church work day. That starts at 9 a.m. There's sign-up sheets out front. You can see that. And if you have any questions, see Pastor John or Pastor Brett for that. And then a week from tonight is the teen takeover service. And so I'm very excited about that. We've been working on that for the past couple months. And so we'll do everything. You guys know how that goes. And then after the evening service next week, we'll have four Sunday snacks, since it's not the fifth Sunday that we normally do it. And we're going to be doing an escape room challenge, which I'm very excited about. It costs $3, and that'll end around 8:30. And if you have any questions about that, you can see me for that. And then May the 4th is Pastor Brett's ordination at 10 a.m. here in the sanctuary, and everybody's welcome to come for that big day for Pastor Brett. And our missionaries of the week are the Countermans, missionaries to Latin America, or they help out with BEME, he's the director of it, rather. He's asking prayer for upcoming church presentations. He was here not too long ago, and he is presenting in a lot of churches around America. And then he has some possible trips to Latin America over this summer, asked prayer for that. And then he asked prayer for three specific places, for the work happening in Colombia, the Dominican Republic, and in Peru. In all three of those places, you know, people are being saved, discipled, and added to the church. Specifically in Peru, they're constructing a church building, so asking for prayer about that. If the ushers could please come forward and receive the tithes and offerings this evening before we get started. And Brother Ed Gannon, could you pray for the offering for the Countermans and for our service this evening?
Lord, tonight we thank you again for the privilege that we have to come and hear the Word of God preach. We just pray for our evangelist tonight. You just give him the words that we're in need of, and just bless this service. I pray for the Countermans, Lord, the ministry there, and Lord, their specific requests. And God, we just pray that you would bless them in a mighty way. I pray for each one of our missionaries that, Lord, you would just give them fruit for their labor, and Lord, the resources to be able to do the job that you've called them to do. Lord, tonight for our offering, we just pray that you would just bless the gift, the giver. Help us to use it wisely, and we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our God is great. The Bible says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And so we're going to sing just one verse of Almighty, Unchangeable God, and y'all can remain seated for this.
Spread out the clouds before him, who fashioned the earth with his hands, who created the starry host and formed the earth at his command, who scatters lightning before him, commands the rain and so to fall, who makes the name
you to keep your job. Oh, if he could do hair, I'd let him bring me up for a magic trick. I wouldn't care. Birthdays and anniversaries this last week. We're going to keep things moving so that we don't take up too much Chase's time. So birthdays and anniversaries this last week. Cain, did you have a birthday this last week? When was your birthday? How old are you? 6? Wow, that's incredible. That is great, Cain, 6. Anybody else? Birthdays or anniversary? Now, the star said, you already got us this morning, so don't pick on us tonight. Here's the problem. We've got to find out the secret. There's got to be a secret to 70 years. 70 years of marital bliss. So one of you gets to go first. I don't care which. We said till death do us part, and we're still waiting. I added that. Keith, what's the secret to 70 years? Ditto. There you go. All right. Amen. Anybody else? Did I miss anybody else? Let's sing. Oh, who are we pointing to? All the way over here, Miss Becca. When's your birthday? Friday. And I can ask you, how old are you? 20? Oh, no longer a baby. Are we crying yet, Mom? 20. And how long have you known the Lord as your Savior? 15 years. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Let's sing happy birthversary to these folks. Happy birthversary to you. Happy birthversary to you. Happy birthversary. God bless you. Happy birthversary to you. What a blessed day.
All right, please stand if you're able. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 13 to 19. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, what seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. Then the Lord said unto me, out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord. And they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. Thou therefore, gird up thy loins, and arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defensed city, and an iron pillar and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. May your hearts be sanctified by God's word this evening. Remain standing.
All right, we're going to sing our hymn of the week, just two verses of mercy.
Mercy, Lord, have mercy. Be merciful to me. All these saints within me. My iniquity, wash me white and spotless as snow in winter days. Mercy, Lord, have mercy upon my wicked ways. Mercy, Lord, have mercy, abundant, rich and pure, ceaseless like a fountain, your mercy will endure. Pour out loving kindness upon me lavishly. Mercy, yes, your mercy flows freely down on me.
Amen. You may be seated.
Miss Chantel is coming, but I'm going to go ahead and introduce our speaker and then get out of the way, all right? In case you missed it this morning, Chase Williams is a young evangelist who God has also given the ability to do great illusions, and you'll be fascinated by the things that he does. So he's going to do a little bit of that, and then he's going to preach for us, and so I'm hoping that you came prepared for all of those things. you'll be wowed. He's in town all week, but not with us. He's a Good News Mission. But he has been here before, I don't know, a couple years ago. We were trying to remember that. But anyway, he's going to come up right after the special.
Set my heart, O dear Father, on Thee and Thee only. Give me a thirst for Thy presence divine. Lord, keep my focus on loving Thee wholly. Purge me from earth, turn my heart after Thine. A passion for Thee, O Lord, set a fire in my soul, and a thirst for my God. Hear Thou my prayer, Lord, Thy power impart, not just to serve, but to love Thee with all of my heart. Father, fill with Thy Spirit and fit me for service. Let love for Christ every motive inspire. Teach me to follow in selfless submission. Be Thou my joy and my soul's one desire. A passion for Thee, O Lord, set a fire in my soul, and a thirst for my God. Hear Thou my prayer, Lord, Thy power impart, not just to serve, but to love Thee with all of my heart. Not just to serve, but to love Thee with all of my heart.
All right, I'm so honored to be here. I really, really, really love your pastor. I'm telling you, he has invested in me and my wife. I remember before we got married, we ate, I don't know if it was lunch or what it was, but we ate together at Pensacola, and he got our food, so that was a blessing. But he just invested in us, gave us advice on getting married, when to get married, and different things, and really, I can't remember what year it was when he came to college, what year I was, but really since then, he said in chapel, he's like, hey, if you will tell me your name or something like that, I'll pray for you. And I thought, well, I would be kind of crazy not to tell him my name. So I did, and he since then has messaged me randomly saying he's praying for me. He'll text me verses, and I'm just so thankful. There are, as far as I can remember, only two other pastors that have ever done that. And I'm just so thankful for his influence and really investment in our ministry. It's not many pastors that will take a risk on a young evangelist, you know. Really giving me a chance to succeed has also given me a chance to fail and make things awkward. And so I really appreciate his willingness to take a risk on a young evangelist. So don't take that lightly. And I'll tell you a little bit about our ministry in a second, but I want to introduce you to my wife. She's right up here, Rochelle, and we've been married just over 2 years, and we just had our first little baby, Cyrus Jace, and he is pretty phenomenal. If you hear him screaming, he's saying amen, okay? Not speaking in tongues or anything like that, just saying amen, but most of the time he's quiet, but it just depends. My wife and I really, we get the honor partnering with churches, and we do really a number of different things. We've done revivals, we've done like special kids things, teen things, but what we do most of the time is really it's kind of like a community outreach, but we get the word out primarily through public schools. And last week, God just worked miracles and opened doors in 6 public schools. And what we'll do is we'll do an assembly, so the entire student body is required to come, and we get about 45 minutes to partner illusions with like a character talk, and the whole point of that is to talk up the show that we're doing at the church. And so we'll do a show at the school. It's still pretty sweet. Middle schools and high schools, I bring a guillotine, which is probably weird to bring a guillotine to schools, but we bring a guillotine, and I'll spin my head around about 11 times, swallow something 5 feet long. We do all kinds of crazy stuff at the schools. I'll make a kid float in the elementary schools. And then we give them tickets to the big show at the church. And at that show, I'll put, I think last week, what was it, 13 swords I put through my wife, which is weird to say out loud. And then a staff put through there, made a dog appear, did a trick from America's Got Talent. Anybody ever heard of Harry Houdini? Okay, we do the trick that made him famous, okay? Not the one that killed him, but the one that made him famous. So we do that. We'll do, I think I mentioned it, but it's a trick that was done on Masters of Illusion. It's like a TV show. It's done in like Australia, Asia, really all around the world. It's called The Twister. It does what it sounds like. I twist my body all up. It's exciting, but we go back together, and it's a lot of fun. But we do all kinds of stuff, and the whole reason for that is to invite people who wouldn't normally come to church to come to church so we can tell them how to get saved. And last week, God opened the door in those 6 schools. I think we were in front of close to like 2,400 students. And then at the outreach at the church, there were over 500 visitors. I think there was 581 people in total, but Pastor told me at least 500 of those were visitors. And then there were 52 people that got out of their seat and went back and talked to a personal worker and asked the Lord to save him. I remember there was one altar worker who told me that she was crying, the mom was crying, the dad was crying, and the teenage daughter was crying, and all that whole family got saved. Isn't that exciting? Man, aren't you thankful God still saves people? Oh, man, I love it. The week before that, we were in, I think, 3 public schools, 1 Christian school, and there was about 300 visitors that came, 26 that trusted Christ, and God just blessed, and we're just so thankful. So thankful and honored to just be part of just seeing God at work. And anyway, if you got your Bibles, you can go to Romans 12 is where we'll be. But before we get there, I got a couple tricks that I decided I would do. Since there's some kids in here, I'll just do this. Adults, you'll probably feel strange, okay, but it's just us. That's not a big deal. Okay, everyone raise your right hand. If you don't mind, raise your right hand. If you forgot deodorant, you can raise your hand like this, okay? Well, I appreciate it. But raise your right hand, repeat after me. I promise. Hitherto, henceforth, from now on, and as long as I live, that I will never ever try or attempt what I'm about to see. Oh, that's cool. With my own, sorry, I got distracted, 2 eyes. Everyone's like, I have no idea what I'm saying. Let's just forget that. Okay, let's do this. Okay, this is strange. Moral of the story, don't try this at home, okay? Anybody eat dinner? Anybody eat dinner? I did not, okay? And sometimes people, when they get hungry, sometimes weird things happen, okay? At least people who do illusions, okay? That was the balloon, not me. Okay, just so you know, didn't want any confusion there. Okay, here we go. 3, 2... You guys want to see it come back up? You want to see it come back up? Okay, I need someone with small hands who can reach down a hide and pull it out, okay? Someone, there's people willing to do this. This is crazy, okay? I'm just kidding. That's disgusting, okay? We're not going to do that. That's disgusting. Some people are like, I'm going to throw up in church. Let's not. Okay, that's terrible. But I do need someone to help out, okay? Something not as gross, and you'll look really cool, okay? Need someone to help out. Teenager, adult, kid, doesn't matter. Any victim, volunteers that wouldn't mind helping out. This is a hard decision. I saw a couple people raise their hand. They're like, I don't know if I trust this guy. It's like this thing, and then, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. Let's have the guy who ran 14 miles. Is that okay? Can you come up? Yeah, that person right there. I'll use one of these kits here in a second. But yeah, let's give this person a hand as they come up here. This would be great. And I'll just come over on this side. That'll be fine since you're over here. Dude, I appreciate you helping out. Okay, can you get up the stairs? You need help? Awesome. You, I mean, he legitimately ran. Was it 14? Did I remember right?
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Okay, what's your name?
Brandon.
Brandon. Okay, yeah. Brandon. I have right here a really for real, genuine fake egg. Okay, it's made in China. You can see there, but check that out if you don't mind, Brandon. Make sure it's really fake. I don't know. Okay, is it? Did it go? Okay, I'll set it right there. Okay, I'll put it in my pocket. And if you don't mind, here, I'll just show you this. Okay, here's a bag. You can see there's the front side. There's the back side. I'll flip it inside out. Okay. And you can see, I don't know if that's the front or back. Doesn't matter. There's that side. This is what we're going to do, Brandon. Okay, hopefully folks can see on the screen. That is so cool that you can do that. Okay, we're going to see it if we can take the egg right here and make it disappear, then make it reappear, then make it disappear again and see if we can get Brandon to make it reappear. You think you can do it? Okay, now, some people don't trust me. I don't know why, but some people don't. So I'm going to roll up my sleeves here, and then we'll make this happen. And hopefully it'll be kind of cool. If not, honestly, it's the thought that counts, you know, so it's no big deal. Here we go. First things first, we'll take the egg, drop it, whoop, inside of the bag, just like that. You guys can see right here is the egg. Brandon, can you feel, do you feel the egg?
Yep.
Okay, definitely inside the bag. Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Okay, Brandon, I'm going to turn the bag inside out. Tell me, do you see the egg?
I do not see that.
Okay, reach your hand inside. Do you feel the egg?
Nope.
Okay, reach your hand in one more time and turn the bag inside out. Perfect, just like that. You can let go. No egg. Kind of strange, okay? You're going to do this next part in just a second.
Okay.
So you want to pay attention here. What you'll do is you will reach in the air. And you'll grab the egg from out of the air like this, okay? And you want to be very careful not to crush the egg because that would be exciting. Thank you for laughing. Okay, you're very nice. Okay, and then what you'll do is you'll toss the egg in the air, whoop, and with one hand you'll catch it like a whip. Okay,
right.
You don't have to do the sound effect. That's weird, okay? But just, like, it's very important. It's not like this. Okay, it's like a whip, okay?
Right.
You wouldn't use a whip like, yeah, you got it, okay? You ran 14 miles, no problem for you. Then, you show your hand empty, reach inside and pull out the egg, just like that, okay? You think you can do it?
I'll try.
I think you can, okay? Now, sometimes when I do it the second time, sometimes I'll do it in slow motion, okay? But I'm going to be honest, it's a little bit embarrassing for me, okay? So you guys want to see it? Pastor led in that. I don't know if you know. He's like, embarrassed. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Well, things get weird. Just know it's not my fault. Okay. You got that. Okay. Here we go. First things first, we'll drop the egg inside. You can see right here is the egg. Brandon, you can feel. This is very thorough. Okay. I'm like, ding, ding, ding. Okay, perfect. It's a good thing it's a really fake egg. Otherwise, that would have been bad. Okay. Here we go. Before I start, can I get the slow motion light? Perfect. 3, 2, 1. Brandon, I turned the bag inside out. Do you see the egg? Reach your hand inside the bottom of the bag and turn the bag inside out. No egg. See, I told you that was strange, okay? That was your fault, okay? That's your fault. Okay, here we go. Do you mind?
Yep.
Taking your right hand like it's a little pincher, and then just very gently pinching that corner right there. Just right there. Perfect. Take your other hand, grab that corner. Perfect. And looking with your eyes, do you see the egg? Okay. Take your right hand and grab the egg from out of the air. That's fantastic. You didn't even crush it. That's good. Okay. Now, don't do it yet, but in a second, what you'll do is you'll toss the egg in the air, and then with one hand, you'll catch it like a whip. Okay. Go ahead. It's like a... We'll take it. Okay, now show that hand empty. Show that hand empty. Reach inside and pull out the egg. Just like that. Give Brandon a hand. That was perfect. You nailed that, bro. You nailed that. Good job. Good job. Okay, well, all right. We'll do hopefully a little bit of a cooler trick here. And I'm going to do my best to do it where the most people in the room can see it. If you want to unmute to get the music ready, this trick does have music because music makes me feel important, okay? So I'm going to cue it up and we'll make it happen. Here we go. Some of the tricks that we do, and at the big show, we pull out the big ones, and it's a lot of fun, a whole lot of fun. All of that is just so we have an excuse to tell people about Jesus, and we love doing what we do most of the time. You know how it is, but it's a great, great time. If you got your Bibles, you can get your Bibles out. Romans chapter 12 is where we'll be in our Bibles, Romans chapter 12. In our Bibles, this illustration I'll tell is probably any illustration you use eventually falls apart. You know how it is if you think about it completely. And so this illustration isn't the best illustration, but no illustration is the best illustration. But I want to tell a story because it helped me to kind of think about this. Imagine this, okay? You're growing up, and there was a neighbor or someone you hung out with in your neighborhood that just didn't like you. You couldn't find out why. It wasn't like you treated them unkindly. It wasn't like you were rude to them in any way. But for some reason, they didn't like you. It seemed like they would always try to plan out ways to try to make you mad, hurt you, hurt people you care about. And anyway, as you grew up, it seemed like things got worse. Things got worse. You tried to be kind to them. They weren't kind back. And eventually, you kind of moved out of the house. You went off on your own. You had some kids. And then one day, you're there with your son. And there is someone you see on the side of the road. You know how that is sometimes. You see people on the side of the road, maybe they're holding a sign or whatever, asking for something. Silly illustration. But just imagine it's that person that was totally unkind to you. And it says, hey, I need a kidney because my kidneys are failing. If I don't get a kidney, I will die. And then also has something about asking for food or money. You know how those signs go. And sure enough, your son sees that. And you recognize the person. It's like, oh, that's that guy that was totally unkind to me growing up. You start to tell your son about it a little bit at the stoplight. And your son says, Dad, you know, my kidneys were good. And to save time, let's just say that his kidney would work to transplant. And sure enough, your son says, okay, hey, Dad, like, I want to give my kidney for this guy. And you know, you're trying to train your son to be a servant and put others first. And so you let it happen. And the kidney from your son, a healthy, good kid, goes to this guy that your whole life treated you wrong, did things wrong in his life, which affected his kidneys, wasn't kind to his neighbor, all that, didn't deserve the transplant. But your son sacrificially gave that. And then, just for sake of illustration, imagine your son passes. It'd be pretty heartbreaking. Your son passes away to save this guy who didn't deserve saving at all. Can you imagine if that guy turned to you and your son just really essentially gave his life so that guy could live? If that guy turned to you and said, I don't care, that'd be pretty messed up. He treated your wife like she was trash, disrespected your family. That'd be pretty messed up. Silly illustration. But God sent Jesus to die for people like me who treated him wrong on purpose at times. Then after Jesus died, there's still some times I do wrong on purpose. And when I do that, I tell Jesus, I don't care. Silly illustration, if we were really to think about it, it'd fall apart. We understand that. It doesn't compare to what Christ did for us, that illustration. This verse we're going to look at essentially, I mean, there's really a lot of things it says. But in short, it basically says, okay, because of what Jesus did for us, what makes sense is to give our life for him. Because Jesus gave his life for us, the Bible, the way the Bible says it, our reasonable service is to live our life as a living sacrifice to God, holy, acceptable, and we're going to talk about what all that means. Well, can I just ask you a question? I'll just try to keep it simple because I'm simple-minded. Maybe you are. Here's a question I want to ask. As far as you know, are you totally willing, completely willing to do anything God wants you to do? I mean, right now. Are you? Last week? Were you? Yesterday? Were you? As far as you know, are you right with God? I mean, think about that. You know, sometimes we're like, yes, okay, we're in church, yes, okay. No, really, let's just chew on it, think about it a little bit. As far as you know, are you? As far as you know, are you doing what God wants you to do? You know, Jesus died, and this verse is saying, okay, because Jesus died, you should live this way. But there's also a response that has to happen before you decide to live a certain way, and that's the response to just believe that when he died, he paid for your sin. See, the whole reason Jesus died, I think probably most of us know this, but just in case there's some visitors that maybe aren't familiar or haven't heard this in a while, the whole reason Jesus died is because there's this three-letter word called sin. And sin, it's a Bible term. It means to do things that displease God. the Ten Commandments. Anybody ever heard of the Ten Commandments? They're examples of sin, lying. It's a sin, okay? I remember I heard a story. Is it going to mess up live stream if I walk down here? I'm just like a walking person, okay? There's a story of these kids, okay? I don't know why they told me this, but they did. It really happened. They said that their mom told them to brush their teeth. And what they did is they got their toothbrush, and they turned the water on, and they just wetted their toothbrush, put it back, didn't actually brush their teeth, and they deceived their parents. I remember I was telling that story last week, and this kid goes, I did that. Well, this is awkward, isn't it? Okay, because I'm about to say that's a sin, and she's like, oh, I did that yesterday. Well, you shouldn't. It's exciting, okay? But lying's a sin. You know, sometimes we're like, okay, I don't want to hurt their feelings, okay? If I tell them that outfit doesn't look good, when they ask me if I look good, they're probably going to cry, okay? So I'm going to lie. Okay? And sometimes we're like, it's not that big a deal. I don't want to offend them. But God says lying's a sin. Stealing, one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal, doesn't matter what you steal, it's a sin. Taking God's name in vain, there's different ways to do that, we understand that, but one of the ways is just treat God's name like it's just another name, doesn't have respect, it's not important. Many times we do this when we get excited, we get scared, say, oh my, and put God's name next. Those things are just examples of sin. And the Bible says everyone has sinned. The Bible says there's one payment for sin, and this is really where a lot of people get confused. They think, okay, to pay for my sin, I've got to like clean up my life and just do better. But the Bible says in Romans 6:23, says, for the wages, that just means payment, of sin is death. Doesn't say it's doing better. It says it's death. That word death is not just talking about dying and being buried. I remember I was talking to a kid and they said, oh, the payment for sin is dying and going to heaven. Yay! Okay, no. The payment for sin is dying, being separated from God forever in a place the Bible calls hell. And the Bible says the one payment for sin is death. Some people think it's baptism, and baptism is a good thing, but it's not what the Bible says the payment for sin is. If you're here and you think you're going to go to heaven because you do good things or you've never killed anybody, well, the Bible says the one payment for sin is death. And God knew that. You know the story probably most people in here do. Jesus came, that's the whole reason he came, and he died. We're going to talk more about what Jesus did. So I'm not going to tell the whole story, but the whole point of why Jesus came was to pay for your sin and my sin. He died. You've heard the story. He died on the cross. He died to pay for our sin. And then because Jesus is God, 3 days later, the Bible teaches he came back to life, completely defeating death. But just because Jesus died doesn't mean everyone automatically goes to heaven. You personally, I can't do it for you. Your parents can't do it for you. If your grandpa was a preacher or grandma, it doesn't matter. Okay, if they work at the church, okay, they can't save you. You personally have to decide, okay, I'm going to trust that Jesus actually did pay for my sin. I'm going to depend on him. You repent, that means you change your mind from what you were trusting in, being good, baptism, and you change your mind and you decide, okay, I'm going to trust Jesus alone. You repent of your sin and trust him. After that, the Bible teaches, okay, there's a certain way you should live. Because of what Jesus did, this verse says you should live a certain way. But if you're in here, and to be honest, you say, Chase, I don't know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. Jesus died so you could go to heaven. He died so you could get to know him, have a relationship with him, and so you would not have to pay for sin. Jesus died so he could pay for all your sin. But you have to trust him. So really, two responses. We're going to talk about what Jesus did. If you're saved, the response is, okay, God, I'm going to do anything you want. I'm going to be right with you. I'm going to live right. I'm actually going to be faithful. I'm going to be all in. If you're not saved, the decision today really is to trust Christ. That when he died, he actually paid for your sin. Let's pray real quick, and then we'll get into God's word. Father, thank you so much for your church here. Thank you for Pastor Ray and his influence in my life and my wife's life. Lord, I ask you that you would have free reign in the service tonight. Father, you know no one needs to hear from me. They don't need to hear a funny story. They don't need to hear just some silly illustration. God, they need to hear from you and your word. So, Father, we ask that you'd be in complete control. Don't just help. Father, please be in complete control. Help me not to say anything that wouldn't be correct. Lord, would you just control it all? And, Lord, we give this time to you. Father, I pray that there wouldn't be a child, a teenager, an adult that doesn't decide to just obey you tonight. Father, that's what we need to do. Lord, if there's someone in here, and to be honest, they're not sure, they're on their way to heaven. God, I pray that tonight they would decide to trust you. Lord, we love you. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Here's the plan. We're going to look at this passage of Scripture. It's pretty easy to understand. And we're going to answer the question, what is this verse saying? And then we're going to look at what Jesus did for us when he died on the cross. And that should motivate us to live the way this verse is saying. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says this, I beseech you therefore. The therefore is talking about what Jesus went through so we could be saved. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Kind of interesting, a living sacrifice. We're going to talk about what that means in a second. Then it says, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. A living sacrifice. You know, you think about in the Old Testament, right? When they would make a sacrifice, they put the rocks together, they put the stuff for the fire and all that stuff. And then when they got the animal, they would kill it. And then they put it on there, and when the animal was sacrificed, right, it wouldn't be able to get out of the fire, okay, because it was dead, all right? It'd be sacrificed. But the Bible says here to be a living sacrifice. It's kind of interesting. Kind of interesting. Obviously, right? Obviously, it would involve this, okay? If you're going to be completely a living sacrifice, you've got to be, number one, if you're taking notes, completely surrendered to God. There's different ways to say that. Yielded, okay? But you got to have this attitude and this lifestyle. Okay, God, anything you want is what I want. Anything you want, God's what I want. Can I ask you a question? Is that the way you live? Let's just think, okay, we don't have a lot of time. Let's just think of like obvious, duh, things. If you're saved, this is the way you should live, okay? Just think of obvious devotions. I wonder, do you have daily devotions, time where you read God's word, not just like, you know, I'm going to read this as fast as I can so I can move on here. No, but like you're really meditating and thinking about God's word, and then you have quality time praying every day. You know, statistics say this, if it's okay, I know there's some people comfortable. How about this? Do y'all on that front row mind just standing right there? And then that third row, would y'all mind standing right there? And then that fourth row, would you mind standing right there? This may be too many people, but there's a group called Barna. They do statistics, and they say, you know, maybe they're wrong. I don't know, but they say 15%. Maybe they said 15 to 16% of people in church today actually read their Bible every single day. 15 to 16. If that statistic is true, the only people in this room, if this represented, you know, true accuracy in this church, the only people that would have devotions every day would be the folks standing up. You know, is that true? Hopefully not. But I wonder, do you? Y'all can have a seat. Thanks for helping out. I wonder, do you every day? Do you read your Bible and pray? Oh, here's something duh. Something duh. Okay. Do you help other people learn how to get saved? I mean, do you share the gospel? I mean, last week, did you try to share the gospel at all? It's something God wants us to do, isn't it? I wonder, did you do that? Did you try? I mean, honestly, probably all of us at one point went to a public place, grocery store, a park, work, whatever. I wonder, did you try to help anyone learn how to get saved? I mean, it's something God wants to do. It's just an obvious thing. You know, we say, yes, God, willing to do anything you want. Do you read your Bible? Do you tell anyone how to get saved? I mean, it's just like obvious things. How about this? Okay, teenagers, kids, do you honor your parents? I mean, do you respect them? Honoring is not the exact same thing as obeying. Okay, it's in your stage of life, right, it's obeying with the right attitude. Some of us, we obey, but not with the right attitude. Sometimes the only way we obey is with a bad attitude. You know what we're saying? God, we haven't really got here yet, but God, I don't really care that much that you sent Jesus. I'm going to be selfish. I wonder, do you honor your parents? It's just like duh things. You know, when you transition to adulthood, it looks a little different, but you're still to honor. You still honor. Do you do that? For sake of time, we won't look at that anymore. We could make a huge list of just like duh things, right? That if we're going to live the way God wants us to, here are some things that ought to be true. Living sacrifice, it means complete surrender, but it also means this, the whole living idea. You know, sometimes sacrifice gets hard, right? Some of us, we can give testimony. Man, we're trying to do right, but man, it's difficult. It's difficult. You know, a sacrifice, you think about the picture, when the fire gets lit, it gets hot. You know, sometimes sacrificing for God, it's hot, it's hard, it's difficult. So it gives this idea of not just complete surrender, but consistent surrender. I wonder, are you consistently surrendered moment by moment, not just day by day, moment by moment? Okay, God, whatever you want me to do, every moment of my day, I'm going to try to do that. However you want me to live, however you want me to think, is that how you live? Is that how you live? Complete surrender, consistent surrender, holy. We'll keep it simple, okay? We'll keep it simple. Holy, it just means right with God. As far as you know, are you right with God? Teenagers, are you pure? You use your phone for things that edify God. Adults, are you pure? You know, statistically, if statistics are true, there's quite a few folks that, I'll be appropriate with the words, that would struggle with internet impurity. There's quite a few folks in this room, if statistics are true. Hopefully they're not for this church, this room, but you know what? It's if we're going to live God's way, we've got to be holy. Treating your spouse right, your kids right? Are you kind? Are you someone who just says whatever's on your mind? You just speak how it is. There's just bluntness, not kindness. You just say it blunt. Who cares? They'll get over it. You know, that's not kind. Well, that's just the way I am. Well, that's wrong. And so you need to change. The Bible says to be kind. Be kind. When you're not kind, you disobey God. That's just what the Bible says. It's true. So we are to be holy. What does that mean? As far as you know, right with God. There's a lot more to that, set apart. We could dive into it for sake of time. We won't. But holy, and then acceptable unto God. Okay? You could think of Bible examples, right? When they would make a sacrifice, and then maybe God didn't accept that sacrifice because it wasn't done right. Could have been the motivation was wrong. It could have been a number of different things. Sometimes the Bible wasn't super duper clear, so people maybe debate or question what the actual reason was. Acceptable to God, we'll keep it simple. It means this. It means to obey God's way. Obey God's way. What does that mean? It means, okay, I'm going to pray the way the Bible teaches. I'm going to study God's word the way the Bible teaches. I am going to serve God the way the Bible teaches. You know, sometimes we say, okay, God, I will live for you as long as it's this, this, and this. God, I'll be okay with my kids doing this thing as long as they choose one of these things. No. We got to obey God's way. Why? Look at the Bible verse. It's up there on the screen, I believe. If you don't have it there, but it says, why you do this because it is your reasonable service. Why is it reasonable? Because of what Christ did. For sake of time, we'll just start. Jesus Christ, he's with a couple of his disciples, Peter, James, and John. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying, and he's God, right? So he knows what's about to happen. He knows he's about to be taken and beat up, abused, like just incredibly badly, physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. I mean, he was going to be hurting majorly. And he's praying, and eventually, folks come and they take him. They look off in the distance. Jesus wakes his disciples up. They're supposed to be praying. They were sleeping. And they look off in the distance. Sure enough, there's a group of people. They are some religious leaders in the mix, some soldiers, people with torches, and they don't look happy. They're coming to Jesus, and they grab him. Lots of things happen. You've probably heard the story. They grab him, tie him up, push and shove him all the way to an illegal court case where they hire people. It's true. It's what the Bible teaches. They hire people to lie about Jesus. Finally, this guy named Caiaphas, he's like the top judge, the high priest. He looks at Jesus and says, Jesus, are you the Son of God? And of course, Jesus says, I am he. And the Bible teaches, Caiaphas got so mad, he ripped his clothes and yelled, blasphemy, blasphemy. And they took Jesus. This is what I was taught. They took Jesus and they put him in a chair. And they blindfolded him. And they took the palm of their hand and they hit Jesus in the face. And then they laughed. Jesus, if you're really God, prophesy and tell us who hits you. Then they spit on Jesus. They cursed at him. The Bible says they literally pulled his beard out. Wow. Now, some of us, we know that. Like, we've heard that maybe for years. But it doesn't motivate us enough to read our Bible. It doesn't motivate us enough to be kind. We're so selfish and prideful. After they did that, they put Jesus in a holding cell all night and brought him eventually to this guy named Pilate. Pilate was the one who could send Jesus to be crucified. Pilate didn't see anything wrong with Jesus. A number of things happened. But Pilate said, you know what? Maybe if I send Jesus to be scourged, then they won't want to crucify him. So Pilate sent Jesus to be scourged. And historians differ on what all it was. I'll just tell you what I was taught. If Pastor says something different, he's done much more study than me. So he would be better in his teaching than me. But I had a friend who went to Israel. And they were kind of hiking around these hills. And they looked, and there were three different caves. And outside of each cave, there was like this little trough thing just in the ground. It's kind of like a little ditch. And they came out of the caves, and then they met together. And then they led to like this reservoir, this draining area. And everybody went in one of the caves and were just kind of looking around. And to the side, it looked like this little bench they had carved out. And then right above that little ditch there, there was like a 6x6 beam that they had gotten somehow to be attached to the cave. And eventually the tour guide came in and told the group, he said, this is a room much like what they would have used around the time when they were scourging Jesus. And he said, this may have actually been the room Jesus was in. He said, this is what they would do. They would take the individual they were scourging and they remove their clothes and then they would tie them to that beam where they're literally just hanging in the air. Then they'd have a whip, and people call it different things, kind of nine tails and things like that. People differ on what it's called, but they'd have this whip and there'd be broken glass, there'd be bones that they had sharpened, hooks, rocks, stones, and different things on this whip. And they could hit you in such a way where it would just cut you real bad. And there were also stories where they could hit you in such a way where literally they cut people in half with these whips. The Bible says that Jesus was beat so much, he didn't even look like a human anymore. It was disgusting. The Bible uses in Isaiah, the Bible uses this word, a stoning. In the King James, it uses this word, a stoning. It's, if I understand it right, it's a little bit different than astonished. It gives the idea of turning your stomach. So to look at Jesus, it was so disgusting. It turned your stomach, makes you wanting to throw up. So what it was to look at God the Son? Some of us, we've heard that. We've heard Jesus was whipped, he was beat, unrecognizable. But it doesn't motivate us enough to be faithful to church. It doesn't motivate us enough to be pure. We love impurity more than we love God. Now, to say it like that, like, whoa, that's bad. But that's what our actions say. Some of us, it's not anything like that. It's just sleep. Sleep's more important to us than God. Trust me, I got a 10-week-old. Sleep is very important right now. Okay, it is very important. But you know what? God ought to be more important. You need to be balanced. We understand all of that and be wise. But you know what? We got to be surrendered, willing to do anything God wants us to do. And we understand being godly is not necessarily just a checklist. Okay, we understand that. It's more than that. It's more than that. But it's true. Jesus went through that. So what should it do? It should motivate us to say, okay, God, anything you want, I want. Any way you want me to live, any way you want me to identify, any way you want me to think, any way you want me to act, God, I'm willing. I'm willing, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Is that the case in your life? They took Jesus after they scourged him, and they made a crown of thorns. And my dad went to Israel, and he brought back some of the thorns. They literally were that long. And they took this crown of thorns, and they put it on Jesus' head. And then they got this robe, and they covered Jesus. The robe would be like his royal outfit there. And they put the crown of thorns on his head. Then they got what the Bible calls a reed. If I understand it right, it is basically like a stick. And I was told they took that reed, and they went to bow down in front of Jesus and make fun of him. And in the process of all that, they used that reed to hit down that crown of thorns on Jesus' head. It's pretty messed up. Jesus went through all that just so we could have a chance, an opportunity to be saved from dying and going to hell. That's why Jesus went through that, because he loved you. He didn't want you to have to go to hell. That's why he did that. If you're here and you're like, I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, Jesus died to pay for your sin. You know, if you went to heaven by being good, why would God have sent Jesus to go through that? That'd be extremely messed up. The reason God sent Jesus to go through that was because the only way for you to be saved was if Jesus died for your sin. Jesus died so you could be saved. And after you get saved, the reasonable thing to do is say, God, I'm willing to do what you want now. I wonder, is that the decision you've made? After they did all that to Jesus, they took that robe off, all his cuts opened back up. Then they brought Jesus before the people. People yelled, crucify him, crucify him. They sent Jesus to be crucified. And what I was taught is they had the vertical beam over where they were going to crucify people. And the person that was dying actually carried the horizontal beam. And it wasn't a smooth wood like this. It was essentially a tree trunk. I mean, they didn't care. The person was going to die anyway. And so they had to carry a 200 to 300 pound tree trunk to where they'd be crucified. And Jesus was so weak he couldn't carry it. They called a guy named Simon to carry the cross. And eventually they got up there and they put the cross together, tied it together with rope is what I was taught. Then they nailed Jesus to the cross. And when Jesus died on the cross, he paid for your sin. He paid for my sin. You know what's pretty amazing to me? God knew that Chase Williams would rebel. I remember at times my mom would be like, Chase, you need to, you know, I don't know if you guys spank here, okay, but I gotta spank sometimes, okay? I remember mom would be like, okay, Chase, put your hands here. I remember looking at her and saying, no. And then I ran. It was bad. Okay, maybe some of you have kids that do that. Okay, there's hope. Okay, there's hope. Okay, it wasn't a baseball bat that did it either. Okay, it was just consistency. I remember I was a rebel, like hardcore. And Jesus knew I would be like that. You know what? Still sometimes today, I rebel. I know what's right, but man, I'm so tired. I got a 10-month-old, bro. Like, I'm so tired. I'm just going to sleep instead of pray or read my Bible or prepare to whatever. I'm just going to be lazy. You know, I know I should be kind, but I'm grouchy. I'm grouchy, okay? I have a 10-month-old. I'm grouchy, okay? Don't make me mad, okay? I'm just kidding. You can make me mad. I'll just cry. But you know, sometimes I come up with these excuses. You know, Jesus died knowing I would sin on purpose. So much he loves me. You know, Jesus died for all sin. And maybe you're here and you think, man, I've just done stuff that's so bad. Like, you don't understand, Chase. I've done stuff that is extremely bad. Jesus paid for your sin. There's a guy in the Bible named Paul. You've probably heard of him. Paul, if I understand everything right, he committed murder. Jesus forgave him, paid for his sin. He led groups to persecute Christians. Jesus forgave him. Peter had been with Jesus for years and looked at people and cussed and said, "I don't know Jesus." Jesus forgave him. Jesus can forgive you. He can. Some people wonder, have I done the sin that is like a sin unto death, or have I done the sin that is unforgivable? Well, if you're alive, you haven't committed a sin unto death. Am I understanding correctly? And the unforgivable sin, if the pastor may differ, if he differs, he's right on this, but if I understand, like, the unforgivable sin is denying Jesus, not believing him, not believing he paid for your sin. So friend, if you will just trust Jesus paid for your sin, guess what? You can be safe from dying, being separated from God forever. Not because you're special, but because God is amazing. And he loved you, he loved me so much to send Jesus. And friend, if you're saved, if you know for sure you're on your way to heaven, I wonder, are you obeying that verse? What does it say? It says be completely surrendered. Says be consistent. Says be right with God. And have the attitude, okay, I'm going to obey your way, God. Are you doing that? Are you living that way? Are you thinking that way? There's a lot more we could look at. There's a lot more in that verse. But I wonder, is that how you're living? With heads bowed, eyes closed. We're going to have the musician come just to be ready to play whatever is planned there. With heads bowed, eyes closed, I wonder if there would be anybody that would say this. Chase, I know for sure I'm on my way to heaven, not a doubt in my mind. I know if I were to die tonight, I would go to heaven. If that's you, would you slip your hand up? I know I'm on my way to heaven. It's fantastic. You can take your hands down. I wonder if there would be anybody that would say this. Chase, don't embarrass me, but Chase, would you pray for me? I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I know for sure I don't want to go to hell. If that's you, would you give me the honor of praying for you? Chase, don't embarrass me, but would you pray for me? I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I know for sure I don't want to go to hell. If that's you, would you slip your hand up just high enough for me to see it? Okay, I see your hand. Anyone else? Chase, to be honest, I'm not sure, okay? Anybody else? I don't know. If I were to die, I would go to heaven. Okay? There's a few kids raising their hand. Anybody else? I don't know if I were to die and go to heaven. Would you pray for me, Chase? Anybody else? Okay, I appreciate that. It's a few folks, okay? If you're raising your hand, what you're saying is, Chase, I don't know. I'm on my way to heaven. I wonder if there'd be anybody that would say this, Chase, I'm pretty sure I'm not saved. Chase, I think I need to get saved tonight. If that's you, would you slip your hand up? Chase, I'm pretty sure I'm not saved. I think I need to get saved tonight. If that's you, okay? Anybody else? I don't think I'm saved, Chase. I think I need to get saved tonight. If you just raised your hand and you said, Chase, I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I know for sure I don't want to go to hell. Or you raised your hand and you said, Chase, I need to get saved tonight. If you raised your hand to either of those questions, would you just open your eyes and look up at me? Okay, if you raised your hand to either of those questions, would you open your eyes and look up at me? And then if your parent is here, if you're a kid and your parent is here, would you just tap your parent on the arm just so they know? If you're a kid and you say, I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, you want to know, would you just tap your parent on the arm? Would you be kind enough to do that just so they know? Okay, appreciate you doing that. And then you can look back up at me. In just a second, we're going to stand up. And when we stand up, Pastor Ray is going to come right here in front of this table. And if you'd say, I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I want to know. When we stand up, what I want to encourage you to do is just to slip out of your seat and go straight to Pastor Ray. Okay, and Pastor Ray will either talk to you or partner you up with somebody. And mom and dad, if one of your kids get up, hey, if you think it'd be wise, let me encourage you, go with them. Get up with them. And there was probably 5 kids that raised their hand, a teenager. I'm going to pray for you guys in just a second. But when we stand up, you say, I want to know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. Pastor Ray's going to be right here in front of this table, these flowers. When we stand up, I want to encourage you to slip out and go straight to him. He would say this, Chase, I know I'm saved, but to be honest, I need to do better living for God. Would you pray for me on that? Anybody like that? It's a number of hands. Well, I want to encourage you when we stand, the music's going to play when we stand. Let me encourage you just to slip out of your seat and pray, or turn around in your seat, or stay seated while everyone stands and do business with God. Just obey God. I don't care if you come to the front or pray at your seat. Just obey God. Let's stand together. The music's going to play. Pastor Ray is coming right here in the middle. And if you say, I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I know for sure I don't want to go to hell, if that's you, I want to invite you right now to slip out of your seat and go straight to Pastor Ray. He's right here in front of me. If you say, I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I know for sure I don't want to go to hell, if that's you, I want to encourage you just to slip out of your seat. I know it may take some guts, but you'll be glad you did it. If you say, I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I know I don't want to go to hell, if that's you, you can just slip out of your seat, come straight here to where Pastor Ray is, and he'll either pray with you or partner you up with someone who can. Maybe you say, Chase, I'm too nervous to slip out of my seat. Hey, if that's the case, if your mom or your dad is there, why don't you just tap him on the shoulder and say, hey, can we talk? Can we talk? And mom and dad, you're welcome to talk now. You're welcome to slip out and talk. You're welcome to talk when you get home. Whatever God puts on your heart there. But let me encourage you, mom or kids or teenagers, if you say, I'm a little too nervous to slip out of my seat. Listen, I get it. Sometimes it's a little nerve-wracking. But if you say, I am not sure I'm on my way to heaven and you don't want to slip out of your seat, talk to your mom or tap your dad or your grandma, whoever you're with, on the shoulder. Say, hey, can we talk? It's not too late. If you have that feeling in your heart, and you feel in your heart, I need to go talk to Pastor Ray, I want to invite you. You can slip out of your seat and go straight to Pastor Ray. If you say, Chase, I know I'm saved, but I'm not living for God. Right now, why don't you obey him? You're invited to come to the front and pray. You're invited to pray at your seat. Whatever you're comfortable with. Let's just obey God. Let's obey God. Jesus died for our sins because he loves us. He loves us so much. If you haven't been living right, you know God can forgive that. And you can have a completely right relationship with him. But you got to decide to get that right. Can't make you do it. You got to make that decision. For the folks who said, I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I know I don't want to go to hell. In just a second, I'm going to pray for you and turn things over to the pastor. But I want you to know, you are always invited to talk to pastor, to talk to any of the people from the church, to talk to your parents about that. You're always invited to talk to someone about trusting Christ as your Savior. It's never an inconvenience at all. Tonight, kids, you're in bed and you can't sleep good because you're not sure if you go to heaven. Hey, let me encourage you, talk to your parents about that. Your parents would love to help you in there. They can't save you, but they can help you know how to trust Jesus if you need to do that. I'm going to pray, and Pastor, I'll turn things over to you. Father, thank you so much for your goodness and your love to us. Lord, you know the hearts here, and Father, I just ask that you would help the folks who are saved to truly obey you in that verse. Help me to do that. God, you know I struggle. Lord, I need your help. Lord, there were a few that raised their hand, and God, you know, sometimes kids get confused. But Father, if they truly aren't sure they're on their way to heaven, Lord, would you help them? To have the courage to talk to somebody about that tonight. Lord, help folks to know that any time's a good time to trust you as their Savior. Lord, we need you. Thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for loving us enough to send Jesus to pay for our sin. And in his name I pray, amen.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chase. Appreciate that. Wasn't that a joyful message, a good message, powerful, challenging, and then just an interesting show. I don't know how you did all that, but that's pretty impressive. I noticed that I still don't have hair. We're waiting.
I saw a trick where they did put hair on someone's head, but then the hair turned into a tarantula.
That is not something I'm volunteering for.
next time.
If you know me with spiders, you know I'm not volunteering for that one. So, all right. So if you are a teenage guy, if you could help out, Mr. Chase needs some help moving some tricks around from his house that's got a leak right out here, so he needs to empty it out. So if you could help us out, guys, we'd appreciate it. Just see Chase over here afterwards. Any announcements I'm supposed to be making, Pastor Brett? Anything we know of? I've got little fingers.
Can't tell you. It's a secret. It's gone.
Yeah, remember your pledge, kids especially. Don't try that at home, all right? All right, so the Lord bless you, keep you, make his face shine upon you, give you peace. God bless you. You are dismissed.